What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Expanding Your Horizons. I'm your host, Steven Rusinko, and I got a very special guest today, and that very special guest is myself. Huh, you guys actually thought I had someone else, but I don't. This episode is pretty much just me explaining who I am, because most of you really don't know who I am. You guys know of me, but you guys don't know who I actually am, and what has happened in my life, and the events that have shaped who I've become. And I think I've become a pretty good person. So with the events that have happened in my life, I'm pretty surprised how amazing I've become. But yeah. So we're just going to dive right into it. This episode is going to contain a lot of hard stuff for me. So I've already restarted recording this three times already, just because sometimes I'll be at a loss for words just because I'll get so caught up in what I'm talking about and I just start thinking about it. And then it actually really gets to me. But I think I'm good because I took a good nap. I'm actually still wrapped up in a blanket sitting at my desk recording this. So, yeah, so I'm fresh out of a nap, which has me pretty energized and ready to go. So, yeah, we're just going to dive right into it. My childhood was okay. Well, my childhood is mixed. It's very confusing, and that's due to the situation with my father, pretty much. One of the biggest things in life is that you trust people. You trust people a lot, and me as, just who I am in general, when I learn that I can trust someone, I trust them fully. I put all of, I just pour everything out into them, all my love and all my time, and I really get involved with that person. So if I trust you, you definitely know that I trust you, which goes back to my father, someone who as a kid I trusted. I trusted with everything. I loved him a lot. And as I got older, I realized, well, this isn't really love. This isn't a choice. This is just what I'm being told. We're told we're supposed to love our parents, no matter what, which I think is false, because sometimes our biggest, the biggest monster in our life can be our parent. There's many kids who are out there that have been abused by a parent, verbally and, physically. And that can have a humongous impact on a kid, because as a kid, you love those people. They are your role models. They are your, that's like your God when you're little, you look up to them with everything you have. And as a kid, that's what I did with my father. I just looked at him for some reason as this great person. I knew of his flaws. I knew of him, but I just put those aside and I ignored them. And I told myself he's a great person, and I love him. And one day I want to be like him when I grow up. The first thing I remember from my dad is pretty vivid and pretty pretty graphic, I guess. So when I was little, I think I was around 3 years old. It was a summer day, and my dad was off work that day. Oh no, he had to work at nighttime because he worked at a dog track and he valeted cars and stuff. And he was home, and I was taking a nap. And at 3 years old, you can't always control your bodily functions, So I actually I pooped my pants, and I shared a room with my brother Colton, which was on the podcast, the episode before this one. And my brother went and told my dad, just simply telling him, hey, your son pooped his pants, you need to go change him. For some reason, my dad didn't take it very well. My dad was very bipolar, very abusive when I was a kid. Still is. It's still there. He just conceals it very well now. Because he is a very fake person. He denies everything that he's ever done, still to this day. And he believes his lies. So my brother goes out and tells him that he needs to come in and change me. Well, he gets really pissed off. Comes storming inside. I can hear him. I'm scared shitless. When I was little and I heard my dad in any type of angry mood, like, I feared for my life. Like, I was actually scared. And you should never be scared or feel like your life is in danger because your mom or dad is mad. That's just ridiculous. But I did, and I think we all did back then, especially me and my brothers. So I was laying there. He storms in, and it was crazy because I didn't realize what was happening because it happened so fast. And throughout my childhood, I didn't really get to reflect on it. I kind of just forgot about it in a sense. I remembered what happened, but I couldn't like reflect upon it. So he yanks me out of the bed, and back then I was a scrawny kid. I still am. Okay, I'm like a feather. He yanks me out of the bed, and he puts me up against a wall. And when he put me up against the wall, my head hit the wall really hard, and that hurt a lot. He hit me a few times. And I'm not talking about, you know, spanking me or slapping me. He punched me in the stomach and stuff like that. And then he proceeds to grab a pillow and put it over my head. And it, just thinking about it, my father tried to kill me, tried to suffocate me. That's just crazy. Like someone you actually trust and believe in and love is trying to kill you. What are you supposed to do? I'm 3 years old, and my brother, who he even today he tells me about it, and he's like, I feel bad for even telling him that you pooped your pants. And my brother couldn't do anything. He was, what, like 6 at the time or something like that, or 5, or I don't know. So yeah, that's like the earliest memory of my father, was him trying to kill me. And I don't know if many people know about that. But later on in the day, when my mom got home, he calls me out to the living room, and this is the thing that disgusts me the most, is that he calls me out to the living room and he's like, hey, I'm sorry for earlier. Is your head okay? He asks if my head is okay because he hit my head on the wall. He didn't even mention putting the pillow over my head or anything like that. And that just gets to me. It's like you don't even care that you tried to kill your own son. But you know, God was looking out for me, and I guess he stopped and, you know, moved on with his day. So I'm still here. So my dad was a really fake person. He really put on this front as this great dad, and he really wasn't. He showed up to my football games. He showed up to my baseball games. But behind closed doors, he beat my family and abused us and scarred us for life. And I will never forget anything that he's ever done to me or my brothers or my mom. And growing up, all of that stuff comes to the surface. And that goes into the mental health thing. And mental health has always been a part of my family. My mom, she deals with it a lot, I think. You know, like depression and things like that. Depression has always been big in my life, I think, due to my childhood and due to just the way I cope with things, really. Because the way you cope with things can really dictate how your future will end up, or your happiness, or anything like that. When I cope with things, I didn't face them. I just numb them. I just locked them deep down in my brain and just tried to forget about them. But traumatic events like the one with my father, you can't forget. And they're gonna resurface eventually. So anyways, years go on of abuse, all the way up until I was around 11 years old. And just living with someone, being scared constantly every day, not knowing what's going to happen. I mean, this guy tried to shoot my mom. He threw her down the stairs. And as kids, you see your mom helpless. And it just, man, it gets to me. It really does, because that's my mother. That's the person who gave birth to me. And that person means more than any other person in my life, you know? But I'm lucky I had a great set of grandparents whom I love dearly. And that's on my mom's side. My mama and my papa. I was really close with my papa, and if I ever needed anything, he was right there. He was like my dad, really. He did so much to make me happy. He would literally just buy airboats. I don't know if you guys know what airboats are, but in Florida, they're pretty much lightweight boats with a big fucking propeller on the back that just, they're so fun. Just Google them and you'll find out all you want to know, okay? He would buy those because it made me happy. He never really used them unless I was there. And those were like the funnest times of my childhood, you know. It was just spending time with him out in the garage like 24 hours a day, me and him just sitting just out there, you know, him drinking Busch Light, you know, what a disgusting type of beer, but hey, whatever, kudos to him. But he was the happiest guy I've ever met, and he kept me happy, and he kept me distracted from the stuff that was happening at home. And that's the thing, is the best thing that you can do is just stay distracted. Which sounds terrible. Because eventually you're going to have to face these emotions. You're going to have to face all those fears. But being distracted does help at the time. But it does catch up with me later, and I'm about to get to that. So the abuse and everything stopped finally around when I was 11 years old. My mom asked me one day, would you want to move with me to Alabama? And I was like, yeah, sure. I wasn't thinking about it. I just said, yeah. And I asked if Colton was going, and she said, no, he wants to stay here. And when she said that, I was like, okay, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can live without my brother, you know? And me and him were separated for multiple years throughout his whole high school. I didn't get to experience him through high school. I didn't get to help him when he had hardships with my father. So I felt pretty bad for leaving him for a while. And I felt bad for leaving my dad too at the time, because my dad resorted to cocaine and drugs and going to bars every time, like every single night, because my mom left him. And the divorce really got to him a lot. And to be honest, I'm glad that it did, because I guess it made him realize that he did a bunch of dumb shit. But he still hasn't admitted to it. So he still to this day says that he never laid a hand on my mom, which is crazy. And So my parents get divorced and I move up to Alabama. When I moved up here, things were not like I expected to be. Like, I didn't have any friends. I was in some redneck town with a bunch of redneck people, and I'm straight from, like, Florida, you know, from South Florida. That's not us, you know. So I come up here and I'm not prepared for it. So I get depressed. And that was the first time I remember being depressed, was when I was around 11 years old when I moved up to Alabama. I had nobody to talk to. I was all alone. And I literally had to learn to have fun by myself, because I wasn't around anybody my age, really, just when I went to school and things like that. So, and then a year goes by, and this date changed my life forever. And it's actually tatted on my wrist, was the date that my grandfather passed away. And that got to me. That changed everything. 'Cause when he passed, it was like I had nobody anymore. My last best friend was gone. So when your best friend dies, you feel empty, because the person you loved has betrayed you, and that is my dad. He betrayed me. I put everything, I put all my love into him, and he betrayed me. He beat me. Never did anything for me. And then my only best friend, a person I put all my love to, just is gone one day. And it's like, damn, I don't want to go through this again. So I ended up never getting close with anyone ever again, like I did. So, when I found out that he was passing, I was actually in school. And over the intercom, they said, "Hey, Steven Orsinko for checkout." So I get up, and when they said that, for some reason I had this feeling like, yep, he's gone. And my grandfather lived eight hours away, or like 10 hours away, like 600 miles I had to drive. And by the time we got down there, he couldn't even talk. So I didn't even get to say goodbye to my best friend. So that really got to me. It still does to this day. It's my biggest regret, is not being able to say goodbye. But, you know, God made it for a reason, so. And it has impacted me and shaped me to who I am today. All those events have. And I think I'm a pretty strong person now, because of all these events. But I wasn't. I wasn't after that. But I am now. But at the time, I was so broken. So broken. And then, so, years go by, and I'm a depressed kid. I'm very depressed, and, suicide was a thought. But not really not until I got into high school. Suicide really wasn't a thought until I got into high school. But once my grandfather died, I hated everyone. I didn't want to be around anyone. I hated my mom for no reason, and I hated my stepdad. I didn't even talk to my brothers. I wouldn't even text them or anything, call them. And my dad never called me, so, you know, like he said he would. So eventually my mom got tired of it, and she realized it, which I'm glad that she did. And she got me some help, and then I got diagnosed with ADHD, which explained a lot about depression for me, because when you're diagnosed with ADHD, the thing about it, everyone thinks you're just hyper, which is pretty dumb. You're not just hyper. Your brain is hyperactive, which means it's going all the time, and you can jump from topic to topic in your brain, and you think about it all day, every day. So I'm just thinking about all these thoughts all day, every day, about my father, about my grandpa, about my mom, about how terrible fucking Alabama is. I mean, I don't think that anymore. I kind of like Alabama now. It's pretty comfortable. But at the time, I hated it. So I got diagnosed with ADHD, and then I got prescribed Vyvanse, which I guess it helped, but it made things worse because when you're on like Adderall or Vyvanse or anything like that, it makes you focus. So whatever I was thinking at the time, it made me focus on that. So if I was thinking about suicide, I would think about that all day. If I was thinking about my grandfather, I'd think about that all day. If I was thinking about my dad, I'd think about that all day. And it would just keep on going and going and going and going in my head. And that really affected me, because that's all I thought about. So, and that was around middle school. So when I was in, I think the second semester of seventh grade, I got diagnosed with ADHD and I started on Vyvanse. And Vyvanse just made me into an unsocial, dead zombie. You know, I was just a zombie. I didn't want to talk to anyone. And if they talked to me, I got aggravated. I was like, just get away from me, you know? And it didn't, like, I was a funny person. I mean, I am a funny person. But when I was on Vyvanse, it just didn't, it took away all that. It took away me. So, I really don't take it anymore. I just take it when, like, say that I'm going to work and I need to stay focused at work, or if I'm going to school, I take it just to stay focused at school, but anything other than that, I don't take it for. So in eighth grade, I pretty much lost a lot of friends just because I shut them out. I didn't want to be friends with anyone. And then so, because in seventh and sixth grade, I was kind of like the new kid, I guess, when sixth grade hit. So everybody knew me. And then eighth grade hit and like nobody gave a fuck about me. So I felt really alone, and feeling alone as a kid is probably the worst feeling ever, because you have nobody to talk to about anything. And as a male with mental health issues, you don't know how to tell people about it. Because when a girl says that she's feeling sad or something like that, it's okay, and people are there for her, and they understand. But when a male says it, it's like, well, suck it up, you know? Just be a man. You'll get through it. You're fine. But you're really not. You just need someone to talk to. And I never had anybody to talk to. So when high school hit, high school was good for me in a sense. Ninth and tenth grade were really good. I was still depressed, but I had a good set of friends. And, you know, they got me through some stuff, but I never told them about my depression. They just kind of kept me distracted, which is what I said earlier. I was distracted. I tried to distract myself from the depression, and that's when my junior year hit. My junior year is when everything caught up with me, and it just punched me right in the face. My junior year, I really started to get heavy into smoking marijuana, and what that did for me was it numbed the pain. It just numbed it, and it put it off for later. So when I was high, I didn't even think about, you know, being depressed. I was like, this is fun. But every time I smoked, I was by myself. So deep down in my mind, I knew I was just doing this to distract myself or to numb the pain. Because when you're smoking with other people, it's more of like a social thing. But when you're smoking by yourself, you're treating yourself. And I was treating myself for depression with marijuana. And it didn't help. So, my junior year, I started to listen to some music. Okay, this is kind of weird, but music has always played a big role in my life. It really has always helped me through hard times. But when you listen to music that encourages the thoughts that you're thinking, it can affect you a lot. So I started to listen to music that encouraged suicide and stuff like that, and that really talked about it, and it got me thinking about it. And then junior year was probably the scariest year of my life. It was the darkest time of my life, and I hope I never go back to that, and I don't think I ever will. But at the time, I was atheist. I'm not really atheist anymore. I kind of have discovered God, or he pretty much saved me, to be honest. I didn't find a reason in living. Because when you're an atheist, you know, you just die. You just, boom, you're gone. So I didn't find a reason in living. Like, why go through all these struggles if I'm just going to die? You know, so why not just make it sooner? So I thought about that constantly. And my junior year, when I was, sometimes when I would drive around, this sounds crazy, which it is, I would close my eyes when I drove sometimes for a period of time to see if I would hit anything, to see if I would maybe crash into a tree or swerve off and, you know, go into a ditch or something. Thank God it never happened. But that's the state I was in. I didn't care anymore. I didn't care about myself at all. So, and then I started to really contemplate suicide. It was just so big in my life. It's crazy. But I could never do it. There was something in my head that just told me not to do it. Now's not the right time. And now I realize never is the right time. Never commit suicide. Because there's people around you that actually care for you. There always is. So I think my junior year, I finally opened up. I think it was to my mom or my brother or someone about how I've been depressed and how my grandpa's death is still with me, how it still affects me even after all this time. And it's just crazy how big traumatic events can stick with you for so long and just affect you so much. It's just truly crazy. So my junior year was really dark, and I was on the verge of just committing suicide. So then my senior year hits, and my senior year was a pretty good year. I was going through a lot, though, still. I was actually in a relationship at the time, and things just weren't going well in the relationship. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, and I had no one to talk to about the relationship. So I simply just resorted to, I don't know, just being depressed. Like, just sitting in my bed thinking about what can I do. And there was something in my head that told me I can't do anything. You're stuck. You're stuck in this relationship. You're never going to get out. You're stuck in your emotions. You're never going to get away from them. You're never going to get over them. And I think the reason that I didn't want to get out of my relationship was because my last relationship was so, like, intimate. Like, I had a connection with that person, and I haven't had that connection with a person since, like, my grandfather. You know, like, me and him, we were just, like, so close. Like, you could not separate us. And then my past relationship, we were super close, and I finally opened up to someone, and then they were letting me down. And I was like, well, I've seen this before. I've seen this before many times. People just letting me down. And it was hard for me to deal with. But then recently we actually broke up like a month ago. And at the time I was in LA, so I was living pretty good. I was loving LA. I loved LA. It really helped me a lot, because before LA, I was really depressed. I was in a really depressed state because the relationship was at a point to where I realized I didn't love her anymore and she didn't love me, but we were stuck. Like, we couldn't get out. I just could not get the courage to break up with her and put myself through that hurt. So I just postponed it pretty much for later. But when I went to LA, it made me realize that life can be terrible, but life can also be great, and life has a bunch of great things to offer in the future. And if I can get past what I'm going through right now, you know, there's going to be bright things, great things. And so that's what I'm living life by right now, is if I can get through today, there's always a brighter day tomorrow. So, and that's just what I'm trying to do, stay happy. But depression can consume someone, and I don't think it's talked about enough, especially in this area, because everyone's so Southern, everyone's so traditional. To step out of the box, it'd be like just taboo, you know? But depression is very relevant in this area, I feel like, because kids do feel alone in this area because we're so, I feel like we're so judgmental around here. And people don't like to open up to other people because we're scared. We're scared that they might judge us. But really, who cares, you know? They're people just like you. They're no better than you. And we all have lives that we're living. And nobody's perfect. And to be honest, I just never want someone to go through what I went through as a kid and feeling alone. Because being depressed can put you in a very dark place. I mean, we've seen it, you know, like Robin Williams, like on TV, happiest guy you've ever seen in your entire life. And then the next day he commits suicide. It's like, whoa, whoa. And when that happened, I was like, wow. Like, that's almost like me, because at school, everyone knows Steven. Oh, he's the funny dude. Like, if I want to laugh, I'm going to go to Steven, you know. I was always happy at school, and then when I got home, I was super depressed, and I just hated life. And that's, and it's like Anthony Bourdain. Like, nobody knew, like, he didn't want to be alive anymore. And nobody was there for him. So to think that there's people like that right now who are out there that feel depressed or sad or just hate their life and they have nobody to talk to, it kind of kills me inside because I'm like, I was there. But yeah, so I've been through a lot. And, you know, I'm trying to make the best of it. And that's the best thing that you can do, is just try to get through it. Try to make the best of it. Because childhood abuse is a big thing. It's a very big thing. And it has affected me greatly today. But I'm going to learn from it. I'm not going to let it consume me. And that's the best thing you can also do, is learn from it. Don't let depression consume you. Learn about your depression. Learn how to handle it. And try to move forward. Because the hardest part is taking that step, is reaching out to people. And moving forward. I do recommend some podcasts actually on Anchor that talk about depression. There's plenty of them. And they also talk about a bunch of other like mental health issues. And listening to them it's really helped me a lot, because it's like, wow, these people are going through it too. That's crazy. And they're halfway across the world. You know, it's like they actually understand. So you're not alone if you're depressed. There's other people. And I just want to let anyone know, if you are in that state or in a dark place, there has to be darkness in order for there to be light. So just always know there's always a way out. And if you guys need anybody to talk to, Steven's always here. So just hit me up on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, and I'm willing to have a great, you know, interaction with you. I'm not one of those people that just message like wow, that's terrible. It's like, oh, okay, so you actually don't give a fuck. Okay. No, I'm not like that. I'll actually have a conversation. And that's the best thing to do, is have conversations about it. Because I actually have a friend who doesn't reach out to anyone. Doesn't reach out to anyone. He's a depressed kid. I try to reach out to him, and when I do, he talks about it when I reach out to him, which I try to do a lot. And recently I heard that he actually overdosed. He is okay, but he did overdose, and that really got to me. I'm like, damn, he is going through a lot. Because what seems like small things to other people can be big things to someone else. It's all about how our brain processes that traumatic event or that small event. And it's how our brains cope with it and deal with it that will ultimately affect us. So we need to realize that there's people that have problems out there, and we need to help them. Am I still depressed? Well, I'm not depressed, but I do experience depression, in certain, aspects of my life. Sometimes I'll question, like, man, why do I keep going, But then I think, I sit down, I think about it, I understand what I'm thinking, and then I find a reason to keep going. So it's just one of those things. Mental health is so hard to talk about because it's sensitive and it's personal, and you have all these emotions locked away, and it's hard to get them out. It really is. But you have to. If you keep them locked away forever, they will destroy you. But just always know that there's someone out there that can help you. Okay, well, I'm gonna cut this episode right here. I didn't want to make it too long, but I mean, this is pretty much what I went through, as a child, and what I'm going through now, and the big impacts on my life. If you guys have any questions, I actually made a Twitter. I gotta like set it up some more for the podcast, but if you guys have Twitter and find it, just hit me up on there, ask questions. I'll answer them on there, or I'll answer them in a different episode on the podcast. You can also, if you have my Snapchat, just ask me questions there. That would be nice. I'm willing to answer anything. But yeah, so it's mental health is a big thing. So make sure to let me know if you guys are going through anything that I can help you with. And family members are great to go to. Friends, if your friends aren't willing to talk to you about your depression, then they're not your friends. They don't care. So get away from those people. You're wasting your time. But thanks for listening to all of my problems and who I am and who I have become, and what I've went through. So stay tuned for the next episode. It's probably going to be up on Wednesday. I haven't recorded yet with the next guest, so but the next guest is going to be awesome, so make sure to stay tuned for that. And I will give you updates on my Snapchat, my Twitter, and my Instagram to let you guys know when that episode is going to be up. So but thanks for watching, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.